Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Blake, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Bird, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquibel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlek, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Korberg, 59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer today is given again by the Reverend Kurt Borgard, representing First Christian Church in Cheyenne. Reverend Borgard.
Let us lift our hearts to God. Gracious God of all, we give you thanks again for another day of life. Despite whatever challenges we may face, we give you thanks for another day wrought with possibilities for creating things which are good. God, you are mighty and your spirit is in all places, and I pray that we may be aware of your good and strong spirit that fills this place today. You are a good and benevolent God, and I pray that we will let that same spirit of goodness fill our hearts and our minds as we deliberate and discuss and make decisions of great importance. Lord, I pray that you be with those who face challenges, who face loss today. Our hearts go out today to the people of New York and those affected by Flight 3407. May your spirit of comfort be with them, even as we pray for your spirit of strength and comfort to be with those in our midst who face challenges and difficulties. We are reminded that throughout history, O God, you have called men and women to tasks which are meaningful and which have lasting influence upon the lives of others and upon your creation. May these men and women gathered here today know the importance of what they do, and may they know the importance of your guiding hand in all that they do. Today, when we have concluded our work here, we will travel to various places. We pray for your spirit of discernment and for your hand of safety to be with those who will travel. And after this weekend, may we return here next week renewed and refreshed for the duty still before us. May your hand, O God, be upon this House of Representatives. Bless those who serve, that in turn you may bless this state. And we, in turn, may bless you, O God. It is in your blessed and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Kurt, thanks a lot for being here. Thank you. We will.
See you.
Thank you. The doctor of the day is Dr. Jerry Gardner from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Ann Raga, I hope I have pronounced that correctly, from Campbell County.
Mr. Speaker, back here.
I see you, Chairman Illaway. Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, you were looking around, and I thought, well, maybe my voice didn't...
You may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you. I'd like privilege of the floor. You know, 11 years ago when I first came to this body, I was told to be careful of two things. Don't sleep, and the other one was be careful of photographers with long lenses. I'd like to congratulate Representative Hammonds with a wonderful picture in our Wyoming Tribune Eagle. If you haven't seen it, it's right here.
Chairman Gingrey, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have quite a few people to introduce this morning. My mom and dad came down and who routinely listen to the internet broadcast of this, and I get lots of emails throughout the day telling me to sit down and shut up. I also have to introduce the one person that makes this all possible that I can come down here, my Valentine, my wife Lisa, and my wonderful daughter Alexandra.
Welcome to the House. It's great to see you all. Representative Moniz, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our north balcony, we have the Wyoming State 4-H leadership team that represent nearly 7,000 4-H students are participants in the state. They're standing up. We could give them a hand and thank them for coming.
Welcome to the Wyoming House. Representative Zwanitzer, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to bring to your attention the nice cookies that we have on our desk today. And I would like to thank those people, the legislative spouses, for bringing those and giving them to us. And I believe we at least have one legislative spouse up in the balcony, right, Barbara? Yeah. And but, you know, these are the folks that are behind us, behind the scenes, and I know they're thanking us and wishing us well, but I wanted to thank all of them. They do a great job for us, and we really appreciate them, especially on Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Valentines. Anyone else for privilege of the floor? A journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the Journal of February 12th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbudo. Correction of the February 11th, 2009 Journal regarding House Bill 313. On the third reading consent roll call, Representative Gilmore's vote should have been recorded as a no. Corrected roll call is attached. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbudo.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was an unusual Journal Committee report there where we corrected a third reading printout that was wrong. And we confirmed that with the audio recording, and we simply corrected that vote. There was a little glitch there. Members of the House, today we are celebrating the first annual Arts Advocacy Day. The Wyoming Arts Alliance is a nonprofit network of artists whose purpose is the development of quality arts programming and arts education. Today's event is being held to coincide with the Governor's Arts Awards this evening in Cheyenne. We are joined by Green River resident Brian Ragsdale and President of Wyoming Arts Alliance Nick Johnson to help celebrate today's event. Brian is a singer-songwriter and has written many songs about life in Wyoming. Much of his music focuses on the things he is proud of, including Wyoming's great outdoors, as well as being a father, husband, and veteran. Please help me in welcoming Brian Ragsdale. Brian, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. All right, well, thank you. So I travel all across the state of Wyoming, drive about 1,500 miles a week. And one of the things that I've noticed the last several years is the number of Colorado license plates in Wyoming. So I thought it would be funny to write a song about that movement that we're having all across this wonderful state. He was born in Colorado, he grew tired of traffic lights. So he moved on to old Wyoming, where he could live a free man's life. The modern day mountain man, photo gadget in his hand, living softly off the land. The modern day mountain man. He moved west to see a gray wolf, and so he could sleep on nature's floor. Well, now he calls the gray wolf Charlie, and he can see him dance from his tent door. It's a modern day mountain man, photo gadget in his hand, living softly off the land. A modern day mountain man. The clothes he wears are made of elk skin. He's never shot and killed a grizzly bear. But that don't matter in Wyoming, 'cause we don't judge a man by the clothes he wears. The modern day mountain man, photo gadget in his hand, living softly off the land. A modern day mountain man. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. So on behalf of the Wyoming Arts Alliance, I'd like to invite you all down to have lunch on us, and also down in the tunnel, and then also invite you to the Governor Arts Awards, where I'll be playing tonight. So you guys take care. Thank you. And it's at 6 o'clock at the Little America Hotel. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for being here. Members of the House, they do have box lunches for us available in the Hersler Tunnel beginning at noon. And I'm sure that nourishment will be appreciated. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate, excuse me.
Message number 230, Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report. Failing the bills as below by the vote indicated, Senate file 24, game and fish violation penalties, ayes 11, noes 19. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message 231, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee. Number one from the House on Amendments House to House Bill 9. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Schiffer, Senator Hastert, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 232, Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee. Number one. From the House on Amendments to House Bill 25, the Senate conferees are Senator Burns, Chairman, Senator Escobel, Senator Landon, signed Representative Williamson, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 233, Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills list below by the vote indicated. House Bill 107, stopped school bus, ayes 10, noes 19. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 68, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that are due pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 73, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 16, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 33, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Brown, Miller, Stubson. Excused, Lubno. Signed, Representative Stubson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 72, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Excused, Illaway. Lubno, signed, Representative Brown, Vice Chair. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 38, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Madden, signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 59, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 85, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Harvey, Meyer, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Lockhart, signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution, engrossed. Number 5, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Moniz, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Byrd, Roscoe. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Standees for just one moment. We're at that order of business. The bill's on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by the Travel Committee and Act relating to State Parks and Cultural Resources regarding Fort Bridger.
Senate File 4 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for a consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Travel Committee and Act relating to the Wyoming Historic Mine Trail and Byway System.
Senate File 7 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee and Act relating to feral livestock.
Senate File 8 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to state parks and historic sites regarding ranger authority.
Senate File 11 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by the Mental Health Committee, an act relating to emergency detention and involuntary hospitalization costs.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19. Ladies and gentlemen, this would just add the language legally designated representative on page 2, line 6. If we're trying to hold down... If we're trying to make sure that the hospital has done its diligence in collecting from the patient or their insurance, I think if they can talk to the patient's agent, I wanted that just to be someone more than someone who shows up with the patient and says, you know, Joe doesn't have any money, and the hospital says, okay. I think it needs to be somebody who's designated perhaps in a durable power of attorney or some other kind of legal document to make sure that the local governments aren't paying this money when there may be assets out there of the patients. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19 is passed. Senate File 19 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 21.
Senate File 21, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to subdivisions within irrigation districts.
Senate File 21 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 22.
Senate File 22, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Economic Development Act.
Senate File 22 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, release of information.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 25 and ask for your favorable consideration. You'll recall yesterday we had a little bit of discussion about some problems with the language in 62319. And the whole purpose of the statute was to bring some similarity between 62310 and 62319. They really deal with the same subject. So what this amendment does is it basically deletes 62310, and under 319 it expands it to all charges brought pursuant to the article. So that brings in both portions under those two statutes. And the best way, I think, to make it consistent is to make it one statute, I think, and I think this does it. So I'd stand for any questions, but urge you to vote aye on the motion.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had this discussion yesterday, and I think what the good representative from Casper has done has really fixed our bill. Again, what we were trying to do is make the two consistent, and he came up with a much better idea of, instead of trying to make them be consistent, just get rid of one and just use the other one. So this is a friendly amendment, and I would urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time or your second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 25. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading, amendment number 1 is passed. Senate file 25 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 29.
Senate file 29 introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to the industrial road program limits.
Senate file 29 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31 introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to agriculture and animals regarding brucellosis surveillance program.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a corrected copy of second reading amendment number 1 at Senate File 31. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 31. It is a corrected copy, and it's just being distributed on the floor now, and I apologize for not getting it out on a timely basis. I will explain what this amendment does. It, I think there was some need to look into this brucellosis surveillance program and realizing that the state is going to provide some compensation for the testing of animals, some compensation for spaying the animals, and for compensation for adult vaccinations, that we should make sure there is a buy-in on the part of the producers out there in the brucellosis surveillance area. And the way I've tied that together is that buy-in is through the words in the amendment on page 2, line 13, that says compensation on this program for all purposes except for mandatory testing will be pursuant to the terms of the livestock herd plan. So I want some conversation there between the livestock producers and our state veterinarians to say that we will help you, but on the other hand, you need to be participating in and doing those things that will accomplish the goal that we're trying to do here. And the other thing, Mr. Speaker, that the amendment does on page 2, line 7, it reduces the compensation that's contemplated in this program of spaying and adult vaccinations and of testing down to $1.50 from $3.50. And the reason, members of the 60th, why I bring this to you is there could be some scenarios out there where a veterinarian is out doing some other work for a producer up in this area, and in addition to the other management practices he's doing that day, he might also be involved in doing the adult vaccinations. And I think it's probably would be a compensation beyond what would be customary at the $3.50 to do that if he's out there doing other things at the same time. And I would think that $1.50 for that would be appropriate. And the reason I bring this is it will allow us to do more work for the same amount of money, and I think it's fair and customary to do this. So I would ask the body pass this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 31. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. Senate File 31 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36 introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to elk and disease transmission to livestock.
Senate File 36 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 58.
Senate File 58 introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to vehicle title and registration.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 58. Essentially, we have a system where we have firefighter license plates. We passed that several years ago. And all this amendment does is it says that if you're a firefighter and you're retired and you are receiving state retirement, that you are eligible to maintain and keep that license plate. And I would stand for questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 31. The committee heard some testimony. This was a late coming request from the folks that manage our departments that fight fires, and it was determined amongst the members of the committee that this is a, you know, with the numbers of special license plates coming along almost annually, that this is another example of something that should be discussed at length instead of just a policy discussion right here on this House floor for about 5 minutes. That, in my recollection of about 10 or 11 years ago, when the first special license plate, non-military special license plate came along, it was with respect to firefighters, and what the discussion was at the time, that the need for it was so that people could know that, for example, a volunteer firefighter on his or her way to a fire could be identified. What does this say about retired firefighters? And of course the example is to give credit and appreciation to those people that have served in firefighting service for a number of years, and of course that is some valid concern, but how many people do you know? Highway patrolmen, for example, or your sheriffs or your county or city policemen that don't have a special license plate in the service that they provide for, you know, to public service. So I ask you to defeat the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The other issue, I urge your non-support of this amendment also. And the thing was brought out in committee very clearly that this isn't just a commemorative plate. It's got a departmental function to it. That means if there's, you know, roadblocks or something, they see a plate like this, that it means something. And we had testimony from departments. We had testimony from the county treasurers and everything that they just didn't think we needed or could do this very flippantly, and wanted to look at it in more detail and how it could be dealt with in a more logical fashion. So I urge you to not support this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the prior two speakers, the good chairman and the good member of the Transportation Committee. Firefighter plates are important, and they do allow folks at roadblocks the ability to know who is a firefighter and who's not. And you see those little tags that you can put on your license plates that said member of X, Bob's Fire Department, the generic tags. Well, people are ordering those and placing them on their vehicles so that they can get through roadblocks. These plates are special plates that require certification by the fire chiefs. Now that being said, you're not going to make a lot of difference with retired firefighters by doing this, and I say that because there aren't any fire chiefs who are going to take away plates from longtime firefighters, and so there's really no difference in how this is going to happen. You're not going to have any more or any less plates than you already have now. And you are allowing retired firefighters to participate. And if it's anything in other departments like it is in my department, firefighters don't retire. They just show, I mean, we've got firefighters who are 80 years old, and pumping trucks and fighting fires now. They just don't go away. They come back and they keep providing services. And because they are service providers, we should still allow them to have those plates. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly rise in opposition to this second reading amendment. Certainly the wrong vessel or vehicle to come forward with this kind of an amendment. We heard testimonies previously mentioned in Transportation Committee. There needs to be Highway Patrol involved on these kind of things, Department of the Treasurers Association and various other entities, and not bring this forward on the floor at this time.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I really don't understand what any valid opposition to this is. This is not a new license plate, number one. Number two, I think you should recognize those folks that served in our local volunteer fire departments. And if they're retired, they should be able to have the plate. There's really nothing new here. And it's for the argument that people look at these plates while someone's responding to a fire. I guess I just don't buy that. They may look at the flashing light that they're allowed to have, but that argument doesn't hold water. And I heard another argument that said, when somebody needs help, they look at these plates, and if they see a firefighter's plate, they stop that vehicle and say, hey, there's a fire somewhere, hey, somebody needs assistance. And heaven forbid if somebody stopped a retired person with these plates because the retired person's too old and wouldn't be able to help. That doesn't make any sense either. Not a new plate, just recognizing their service, and really no burden on treasurers or anybody else. So I urge you to support the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For the second time, Representative Cohey, Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In many ways, de Tocqueville had it right. In his examination of America and public service, he just couldn't believe it and took it back to Europe and said, you know, really what they're doing over there is just tremendous. We all provide public service in our own way. Those of you on this House floor providing public service, although you're getting paid tremendously for it. No one here has asked for a license plate. When you retire and leave service from the legislature and the public service, the things that you've done in the clubs, the social clubs, service clubs, get yourself a little ring that goes around the license plate and said, I'm a proud member of whatever. How many people need that recognition? The people that I know that provide public service, particularly in the form of public employment, that simply put, old firefighters don't just fade away. They just live the rest of their life glad to do what they did. I ask you to oppose the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the good transportation chairman makes a good argument as to why we shouldn't have these plates, but I don't think that's the real argument today. I think we have these plates, and I think it's reasonable that if someone has served the state of Wyoming, we've determined that they're eligible to have this plate as a firefighter. If they retire, they should be able to maintain and keep that license plate. It does not create a new plate. There is no additional cost to the state. They have to pay the regular fee for that extra plate just like everybody else. After talking to the good chairman in the other body about this, I didn't think I would run into quite this much resistance, as he is a supporter, but I would ask your aye vote. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 858. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. No, it's failed. It's failed. Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 58 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the registration of sex offenders.
Senate File 61 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by Senator Case. An act relating to crimes and criminal procedure, loss of firearms, rights protection.
Senate File 70 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 86.
Senate File 86, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to anatomical gifts.
Senate File 86 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. You sound a lot like your dad, hon. That's right. I'm sorry. Thank you for being here. We all want to cry on occasion on the floor. It's all right. Senate File 110, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 110.
Senate File 110, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to real estate licensees.
Senate File 110, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 113.
Senate File 113, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool.
Senate File 113 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 117.
Senate File 117, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act.
Senate File 117 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Teeters.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Yeah, in the South Gallery, I'd like to introduce to the body the two most important women in my life, Addison and Mandy Teeters.
Welcome, Addison and Mandy. Nice to see you today. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill, well, the only bill for our consideration is House Bill 1.
House Bill 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Ladies and gentlemen, to remind you again, you have the agenda summary that dictates the order in which the amendments will be considered. So the first amendment will be third reading amendment number 6, and that is Representative Davison's amendment. So we'll give you just a minute here to get organized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move third reading amendment to the budget bill one.
Third reading amendment number 6. How about third reading amendment number 6?
That sounds good. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to turn the explanation of this amendment over to my good friend from Campbell County.
Excuse me, Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There was a single sheet passed out in the sheaf of things that you had. On one side, it has third reading amendment for Wyoming Branch Office of First Children's Finance. On the other side, it has their logo and mission, service population, and organization goals. I'm only going to say a couple of things about this. This is absolutely revenue neutral. All we are doing is moving money that has already been appropriated from the Wyoming Business Council, Business Ready Communities, over to the Department of Workforce Services. That's all we're doing. Money from one place over to the other place. Both agencies are 100% in favor of this. The key that you need to understand is that if we do this, then they will bring with them the $500,000 revolving loan fund that is accessible to our Wyoming providers. And so unless there are questions, I would call for the question.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on, first time, Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, urging us to resist this amendment, and again, some caution that with these words revenue neutral, and I mentioned this the first time, we are seeing an expansion in some programs that we really don't know what these trends will be. And this group, the Early Childhood Partnership, I think we haven't heard much bad about them, but
that this is still really a very new group, and we really don't have any indicators to predict how this will turn out. And we're missing still many pieces of the puzzle that makes this a sound business plan. And again, I urge caution at if this is the appropriate time to approve this this dilatation principle.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to make sure and say it again that this is a revenue neutral. Revenue neutral. Does not cost us any additional money. We're simply moving from one agency to another that has more experience and better suited to administer this program. The reason why this amendment has caught my eye, you remember just 2 short years ago when we were, I think it was 2 years ago, involved in the big debate about a statewide child care plan and how we resisted, and it was a lot of debate and a lot of contention on this floor. This is really the way to go. I mean, this is the private sector coming in, giving folks loans, expertise, and so I would really encourage your adoption. Doesn't cost one thin dime, and it's just simple movement of some money. And I think it'll be a really good thing for our state and for our little kids. So on and in support of amendment number
six.
Representative
Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker, on and for amendment six to House Bill 3, I'd reiterate, of course, we have already said it's revenue neutral and that both departments that are affected by this are, in fact, in support of it. And the body has got probably three-ring notebooks full of information about how important early childhood development is, and I know we got a lot of stuff, so I'll give that support.
Anyone else for the Mr. Speaker Pro Tem?
Well, a couple of times it's been said that this is revenue neutral, but it actually not. It's the same as general fund money. If you read on line 27 of the bill, it says, of this general fund appropriation. And it diverts money from business-ready communities to this new program, which is a nice program, but I think you should be aware it's not revenue neutral, and if it's a successful program, they will probably be back asking for more money from general fund next time. So it's a new program we're starting. And I'll just leave it up to you whether you think we should start it or not, but I want to be sure that you're clear that it is a new program, and it will, if we keep doing it, cost some money in the future to administrate it.
Representative Throne, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of Amendment Number 6. Many of us attended the Business Council's strategic planning overview, and some of us who attended the meeting in Cheyenne, when the Business Council folks said they were involved in quality child care, we all kind of looked at each other and said, huh? It doesn't make sense for the Business Council to be involved in quality child care that's where this money is coming from, at least in the Business Ready to Communities program. Business Council does have the ability to use money for quality child care, and it really just it doesn't make a lot of sense. So moving the money to the agency that this body designated for quality child care makes sense to me and is a better use of the money and may actually lead to more quality child care available for our little folks. Thank you.
Representative Orozco, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I believe this would be money well spent. I consider it an ounce of prevention as opposed to a pound of cure. Thank you.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was skeptical of this yesterday and had some questions, got my questions answered, talked to the director of the Workforce Services, and she just tickled pink to have this program and said it would not cost anything. They have all the staff set up, and she just sees the need for it and is very glad to have it. So I speak in support of Amendment Number 6. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to get up, but I don't see any thing here where we're taking money, where we're deleting money from any other program on here, unless I didn't see it. General fund decrease amount by $365,000 had been pointed out to me. But where's it coming from?
It's coming from
here. Oh, I see. Never mind. It's been explained.
Chairman Lockhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Minerals Committee did hear the presentation on this, and the organization that is going to contribute the $500,000 to the state has a, from everything we could find out in the time we had with the person that provided that, a good track record of fitting a niche that's not fit in any other way. So I'd urge your support of this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? For your second time? Question being called. Well, anyone for their second time? Okay. Question being called. We are on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 6 is passed. And no roll call is needed because it neither increases nor decreases funding. Oh, excuse me, it does decrease a general fund amount at lines 46 and 47. So roll call, please. Representative Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, it reduces it from the line. It reduces it there, but it adds it in at the top. It is exactly a trade for trade. It is neither a increase nor a decrease.
I realize that, Representative Wallace. I'm just not sure whether if it says increase or decrease on the face of the amendment that literally is an increase or decrease under the rule. Okay. I will just call that it does not require a roll call since it is just a transfer. We are on third reading amendment number 2. Chairman McComey.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 2. To the budget, and what this does, the governor wanted to change the legislative liaisons from his executive of budget over to a contract, and we've had such success with the legislative liaisons, we wanted to make sure that they would continue to be able to have to be able to access the state's systems and have office space available to them. My discussions with them said that they said they'd be provided with an office, some office space when they discussed it with the executive branch, but they were told that they wouldn't be able to access the department's email facilities and things like this. And this is asking if the legislature would state in the budget that they could do this, and that's what it's all about. They've done a heck of a job for us, and I'd hate to see this fall apart. We've really got DFS, Health Department, Water Development, and everybody working together, and they are the go-betweens that have really moved things and smoothed things out.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to say that, and they have done a wonderful job, is that usually when we go, and this would go to now to a 900 series contract with the tribes, and usually under the 900 series contracts, people provide their own office space and support services.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on the revenue neutrality of this bill. I guess I'm wondering where we expect the governor's office to place these people, and if there's a cost to be providing office space, telephone service, and internet access. I know that does cost some money, and we put a new position in. We always have some funding available to go to office supplies and these type of functions, but I don't see a revenue impact on the bill. And so I just had a question if somebody was covering this or if there had been some talks and they already knew where these people were going to be put or if we're directing something that they don't want to be done.
Mr. Minority Whip. Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to attempt to answer the question. I'll let the bringer of the amendment do that. I would say just some real quick history. We in the past have attempted to move this over to the LSO office using the 100 series monies, but because of a constitutional issue between the executive branch and the legislative branch, we were unable to do that. The key word here is access, folks. It's access. These liaisons have been working with the select committee that I sit on for tribal relations, and their access to various agencies, various departments is key in their success. Even if we were to take the office space out of this and continue to use the state email services system, that would be sufficient. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And maybe my history is flawed a little bit, but if I remember right, I'm on tribal relations, so I should know this, but I'm asking the question, when we started tribal relations, the governor's office consented to pay half the salaries for a representative from each of the tribes. One of the tribes would not consent to do that, so the governor said, well, we'll pay the salary for both of them. And so it seems to me that we've moved quite a ways to accommodate the tribes on this matter, and not that it isn't working. I think we have it's been a tremendous help in the tribal relations as well. But now I'm wondering since we're moving this, where are the salaries for those individuals going to come from, too? We're talking about office space here. We're putting them in two different departments, or this is what some of the questions that are not clear in my mind.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time?
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman
Speaker.
McComey.
I'm glad to have the questions because it'll help clear up the amendment. The money is in the budget already, and the state is going to contract with the tribes for the tribal liaison. It's just turned it around. So the state is going to do the contracting with the tribes to provide these people. And I hope that answers the good chairman's question. The money's still in the budget. That's what it will be. There'll be some of these negotiations as far as the office and these types of things will be in the contract. But the access to the internet and that type of thing through the state system is the critical thing to keep these things flowing back and forth, because these gentlemen drive back and forth and back and forth between Cheyenne and the reservation on a regular basis. Sometimes they spend several days down here or even a week down here, and then they go back and they spend several days there. And that's what this is all about. The governor felt more like that he was more comfortable doing it as a contract. But when I met with him and the liaison people, he told them that because it was a contract, they wouldn't have services this be able to go through the internet and these types of things. So that's why I brought this amendment to see if we could give the approval that this could be done this way.
We are on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 has passed.
We are in third reading, amendment number 3. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a request to add $20,000 to the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, and if you read the amendment, it's of this general fund appropriation, $20,000, or as much, therefore, as necessary, shall only be expended for cleaning, restoration, conservation, and protection of the four Gollings paintings displayed in the House and Senate chambers. Ladies and gentlemen of the body, if you're concerned, if you're curious which paintings they are, it's the one over Pete Anderson, Representative Anderson's head, and it's the one over Representative Madden's head. If you're interested in what these paintings are worth, I'll be glad to show you what they were appraised at in 2000. I can tell you that the four prints, both, or they're not prints, they're paintings. I can tell you that the four paintings are very worthwhile conserving and restoring. What we intend to do is to have the frames restored. It's plexiglass, at least on this one. You can't see it. They're dirty. They are well worth restoring and conserving. You got the Gollings book yesterday. The Gollings book that some of us got last year do have those in here. The deterioration could be very detrimental to them, so I'm asking for a $20,000 appropriation. We have had a conservator come up from Denver and look at them. We've also had frame people take a look at them here in Cheyenne. This was the estimate that they gave us for all four. So it's not a $20,000 apiece. It's $20,000 for the two, or four.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of the Appropriations Committee, I would simply say that the questions that you always ask in these circumstances are, does this need to happen this year? What would there be a reoccurring cost? And of what value is it to the state? In fact, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the artist, Gollings, he was an old cowboy, and he was from the Sheridan area, and he just happened to be astoundingly talented. The people who are interested in his work believe that he is Wyoming's Charlie Russell. He lived at a similar time and, in fact, knew Charlie Russell. And so the artwork that you see here a number of years ago, they took it off of the walls and had it put away because of the deterioration they were worried about. But the Appropriations Committee, for the most part, is neutral on this, but they do want you to frame it with a philosophy about what you think about the spending of this money for this purpose.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, old cowboys never die. They just live on through their art. But a few questions of the sponsor, bringer of the amendment. Should this not be in the legislative and LSO feed bill, for one question? And why just these four paintings? Are there others that, you know, that we're all so proud of in this entire building that should be considered?
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Speaker, thank you very much to the Chairman of Transportation. Good comments. We did consider to have that in the LSO budget feed bill, but the appropriate place is to have it in the Department of Parks and Cultural Resources, because the State Museum is the one that will contract with the conservator out of Denver and with the frame folks that will repair and restore them. I'm not going to tell you what the value is because it's considerable. Yes, they are worth saving, and they are certainly worth conserving, and the longer you wait, the worse they get. So I really ask for your approval. Thank you.
Voting on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 3 is passed. We are in third reading amendment number 7. Yes, we do need a roll call. Excuse me.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Roscoe. Semlick. Shepperson. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused.
Third reading, amendment number 3 has passed the House. We are in third reading, amendment number 7. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading, amendment number 7 to House Bill number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the 60th, if you take a look at third reading amendment number 7, very simple, and I'll give you kind of the background behind it. We've had a lot of conversations floating around out there about charter schools and facilities, and so I bring this amendment just in an attempt to see if we can't go straight to the horse's mouth and get some clarification. What you'll see is what we're asking for is some recommendations from the School Facilities Commission and the Department of Education about policy as far as facilities for our public charter schools, and that's about as simple as I can get it, and I will stand for questions.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, would you? Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. I just wanted some more information about what we do now for charter school buildings and how this also relates to third reading amendment number 8. Concerning renovation of charter schools. Third reading amendment number 7 would require the development of recommendations for policies addressing adequacy, which then is the first step to, if it's inadequate, who's going to restore it, which I assume is third reading amendment number 8. Is that a policy question that we've considered here in the Education Committee? Why are these third reading budget amendments, those types of issues? Thank you. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is definitely something that needs to be addressed and hasn't been. We don't really have a unified policy as to what we do with facilities of charter schools. If you look at the definition of a charter school, they are public schools. So there is the thought out there that they should be treated as a public school and go through the same facilities processes as our public schools. We need to be having some sort of direction, and I think it would be good for the department to begin looking at developing some policies so that we can kind of determine what direction we want to go. They'll give the feedback back to us, and then we can kind of determine from there. Different states have different policies as to how they deal with their charter schools. It's something that we really haven't dealt with yet, unfortunately.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, a little history on the charter schools. We have passed several pieces of legislation that deal with charter schools, and some of this says that if the charter school is renting a building, then the lease agreement will have to say that the owner of the building is responsible for all of the major maintenance and this type of thing. There are other amendments that have been passed that charter schools can go into old school buildings, and then they can be counted under the major maintenance for the school district in which the charter school is in. So they don't, that they're covered that way. This, as I read this first one, they're saying they want, I look at this as almost a report, we're talking with, this actually would go to the Select Committee on School Facilities, that then brings some of these things back to the board, to the Education Committee sometimes, and sometimes just directly to Management Council or Appropriations. The second one looks like they're asking the Facilities Commission, School Facilities Commission, to start getting involved in paying the renovation costs. And if it's a leased facility, I don't think that we should be paying the renovation costs. But if it's a state facility, a school building, an old school building, or something like this, or another state building, then that's something different. So I'm not sure what's going on here. To be honest with you, it looks like they're wanting them to set up some kind of rules and regulations that would deal with this. From what I can see here, and we really haven't dealt with it other than in the past by bringing bills dealing with these situations as they occur. And that's where we stand, and that's the explanation that I've tried to give you on it. I think I'm reasonably accurate.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I commend the bringers of the amendment in that I do think it is time for this state to face this issue head on, and I really commend that. However, the only question that I have for you is found on line 7, and it's the word policy. From my perspective, the legislature, or at a minimum, the Select School Facilities Committee should be setting policy. And so from my perspective, this appears to be backwards, that the Facilities Commission with the Department of Education will be setting policy. And so I feel like the committee, the legislative committee, should set policy and direct them to figure out how it would be implemented. And so I would like to know more about that aspect. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and against the amendment, I think we need to address this as diluting the school funds. We need to look at this, what it is in regard to the good representative, this is not a public school. So we need to look at it in that regard, and I urge the defeat of this amendment.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with one of the previous speakers that talked about that it should be the legislature that develops policy addressing the adequacy of school buildings. And also in the report where it goes back to the Select School Facilities Committee, I think that's appropriate. But then I wonder why it goes to Joint Appropriations instead of to the Joint Education Committee, because it kind of seems like they ought to be the ones to address that, or they at least ought to have a part of it. Since they are our education committee, on and against, Mr.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for. I'd like to point out this is a recommendation. The other thing I do want to make abundantly clear, with all due respect to my colleague from Laramie County, charter schools are public schools. These are publicly supported charter schools. Thank you.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I agree with the previous speaker. Charter schools are public schools, and as such, they go through the same review process as any other school. And admittedly, I see these two amendments as micromanaging through the budget. There's the possibility for a bill, but in all honesty, they are public schools, and they should go through the same process as any other public school. Thanks.
Anyone else for their first time?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. For my second time, the concern I have about this debate on third reading in the budget relates to the school foundation program account and the school capital facilities account in 2011 and 2012. The way we profile those budgets is we don't profile COLE's bonus dollars because they're so uncertain. We anticipate them, but we don't profile them. The way that the way things look for 11 and 12 is that we may have some shortfalls in the school capital construction account in 2011 and 12. I understand that this amendment is simply saying recommend to us a policy about this, and then that goes to the Select School Facilities Committee and the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee. And maybe that is the way to start this discussion. But when we're pretty well down the road towards community college capital construction in many respects, where does it lead us with regard to charter schools? I just think that's a policy debate we need to have, not on third reading in the budget, but the other side of that argument is certainly that just with the recommendation, we can have that policy decision. So I just want you to know that there are some potential problems with the school capital construction account in 11 and 12, especially if we don't receive any COLE's bonus dollars. Thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think this has anything to do with the capital construction budget. I think this is about the fact that we as an institution have never settled the problem of trying to figure out a way to deal with facilities for charter schools. And my concern is that if we continue to ignore it, and just because people are concerned about it doesn't mean that the problem goes away. And this is just beginning the process of looking at recommendations for developing policy. I don't think this is dangerous. I think this is an appropriate way to begin the conversation. And, one of these days somebody's going to come along and file a great big lawsuit because these are public schools. And I think if we're not working on it, then we can't really say that we intend to do anything about it. So I don't know what direction this is going to take us, but I think it's completely appropriate to begin the conversation now. On and for the amendment.
Representative Edmonds, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I really appreciate the debate here. Let's see if I can take these one piece at a time. I think the question of the good representative from Washougie County regarding policy was touched on several times. This is just a recommendation from the School Facilities Commission and the Department of Education, which, quite frankly, that's where the recommendation needs to come from first. To kind of dovetail the good representative from Fremont County when he asked about policy as well, that we should be doing it. We do it, but we normally in the education committee would normally do it with a recommendation from, as I said before, the horse's mouth, the School Facilities Commission and the Department of Education. They really get involved in these sorts of things. The good representative from Fremont County also asked about joint appropriations as one of the two committees that this recommendation would be going to. And all I can tell you is that this was something that was used or addressed over in the Senate. And that might give you an idea of who sponsored this in the Senate and why it says joint appropriations. Going on to the good representative from Laramie County, I think that was also touched upon. These are public schools. They do have a right to public dollars. We actively have public school kiddos in these schools who obviously could come to us at any moment if they felt they weren't getting their adequate funding. Albany County, the good representative from Albany County said the same process as any other school, and I could not agree with her more. Again, they are public schools. They have the right to the same process as any school, and that's what has not been addressed, as the good representative from Goshen County was touching upon, that this has not been addressed. And let me just tell you, I think I've answered. The good representative from Park County was talking about potential issues we're going to face in this next budget cycle. And I just want to remind the body, we have three charter schools in the entire state, of which all three of them currently have facilities. So I don't expect that any recommendation is suddenly going to become a tremendous amount of money for us. But what I do want to touch upon is why I support this and some things that I want to talk about real quick. Charter schools are very unique, in particular in their facilities, because they truly are about the learning and not about bricks and mortars. They apply for grants and non-public dollars all the time, and as a matter of fact, there's a lot of federal dollars to be had. Our State Department of Education has chosen not to apply for a lot of federal dollars. I have asked them to do so for 2 years, and there is money out there to be gotten from them. I think the state needs to be aware of that. I think we need to talk about that as a body. I know the current administration, one of their big pushes is facilities for public charter schools across the nation, and I think we need to have that conversation as a body and get in there and get what we can get for the schools that we have. And so that's the onus behind bringing this, is that we are the ones who set the policy. We need to talk about this, and we need to go out there and make sure. It is not my intention, and I think every public charter school that I have gone to across the nation are not fully funded by their states. They are public-private partnerships with money coming in with grants and foundations and federal grant dollars. And I think that's the mix that we need to have. I would not advocate for anything but that mix. Even though they're public schools and they are public schools, they are unique and they need to remain unique. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for third reading amendment number 7, and I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. We are in third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1 has failed. We are on third reading amendment number 8. Representative Edmonds.
Mr. Speaker, sensing the mood of the body and the inabilities here, I'm going to withdraw this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Third reading amendment number 8 is withdrawn. We are on third reading amendment number 22. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry for the delay, members. Amendment number 22, simply, I'd like to move amendment number 22 to House Bill 1, third reading amendment, Mr. Speaker. This takes $1.1 million of general fund dollars out of the Game and Fish Wolf Management account. We put money in there because we thought we would need it. We did actually start spending some for damage payments. That is all changing. That's totally a federal issue, and so I just wanted to get that money back and put it back in our general fund. It's not going to be needed, so I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, we are voting on third reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Third reading amendment number 22 is passed. We are on third reading amendment number, roll call. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Amendment number 22 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We're on Amendment number 24, Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to move Amendment number 24 to third reading Amendment number 24 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. I'm really concerned about the lack of things that we've accomplished in the medical area this year. This amendment is another amendment just to protect the primary care physicians, those people who do the very basic care of the citizens of Wyoming. And this has a $2 million cap. And if you look at line 13, about in the middle of the line, it says the increase may be by the billing codes, by type of provider, or both. And so it's talking about the very basic care. And then if you go down to line 18, it says primary care under this footnote shall not include surgery, radiological or invasive diagnosis procedures except for blood tests. So we're hearing in the state that there are some people that some physicians, particularly primary care physicians, that are considering not serving Medicaid eligibility. So what we're facing with that is all the kids on kid care, all of the people that are even a lower level of income that will not be able to access primary care. Even though the state has provided an insurance program for them, there will be no one to serve them. And so this is just a way, and this is simply physicians, and it's the physicians only doing primary care. It has a cap of $2 million. I would urge your aye vote on this.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I had LSO provide me a list of what I was interested in was seeing how we have changed this reimbursement rate over the years. And what I received was a list by specialty, really, and then it simply showed the claim billed amount and then the claim paid amount. So if the physician billed a dollar and they were paid 50 cents, that's what it would show. And it shows that the percentage of the claim paid has stayed about the same at about 42%, 41 to 42%. So 42% of what's billed is paid. The amount paid has fluctuated. From 2005, it was $42 million. 2008, it was $58 million. And those percentages were about the same, though, right about at 42%. For fiscal year 09, we're about at 39.77%, 40%. But what is happening is that these numbers don't reflect the increased numbers of people who are on Medicaid and are going in for Medicaid
care through these providers. And we heard yesterday that 75% of the providers are seeing Medicaid patients. I've believed for my entire time in the legislature that primary care physicians aren't adequately reimbursed under Medicaid. And the federal government hasn't done much to really address that issue. We can do some by helping out with the state dollars, and I think it's appropriate to do that because these are the physicians on the front line of care today. And when I talk to my physicians, the primary care docs in my community, a lot of the care that they provide is Medicaid. I'm surprised. And they also provide a fair amount of mental health care to people. Even though they're not trained mental health professionals, they see a lot of depression, they see all kinds of different things. That's off the track, so I'll get back on. But what they do is they're seeing more and more Medicaid people. I don't think we're keeping up with that. I think it's appropriate to spend $2 million in general fund dollars to increase that and recognize that the work that these folks do and that they serve this population. This session, we've had two or three bills about uncompensated trauma care and how we can address that. This is a form of uncompensated trauma care by the individual physician, not the institution that may house that physician. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. And we didn't hear about this in particular in December, but what we did hear about is that we are anticipating a large increase in children that will be serviced through the biennium, approximately 600 more children, they estimate. And so I think that this need is critical. Thank you.
Anybody else for their first time? For the second time? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I failed to note in the first time at the microphone that we have a lot less people going into the primary care physician area. We have a lot less people that are being trained through our program, through a university to the northwest of us, as well as the ones through our interstate group. People who are going to medical school now, less and less of them are going into primary care. And so I think when we've got an increased number of children in particular going to be served and no one to serve them, it's just an illusion of help. So the question is, are we going to help or are we not? Or do we want providers there to do this or not? And the final question I would leave you is that, you know, we are a citizen legislature and all of us have jobs that we go home to. Who among us would just consider taking 40% of a paycheck? And that's what we're asking these people to do. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 24 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. And Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Excused.
McKim excused. McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Conflict.
Stewart. Conflict. Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Millen, no to aye. Peasley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 ayes, 9 noes, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
Third reading amendment number 24 is passed. We are on third reading amendment number 16. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen of the 60th, this restores the $495,000 for the county cancer research coordinators. Comes out of the tobacco trust settlement account. That's the income account. There are two accounts. There is the tobacco settlement trust fund account. That has $59 million in it, actually over $59 million. At the beginning of the session, we had $7,424,728 available to be used this session in the tobacco settlement income account. That money is supposed to be used for direct and specific cancer-related programs, which this obviously is. There's presently some bills out there that are alive, both House and Senate and in the budget, that take up about $5 million of that, leaving a little over $2 million. This passes, still leaves about $1.5 million. At the end of the session, that money flows back into the Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund account, and then at that point, we can only draw off the interest of it. It's a really good program. Just wanted to give you a little bit of history about the program. And actually, I've been a representative longer than it's been a program. So I'm in my second term. If you go back to when the Cancer Control Consortium became part of the Cancer Control Act in 2007, and that's the book that we all got earlier this year, that was put together by a group of volunteers and members. When you open the book, you see list of names all across the state of people that are involved in the consortium. And that became part of the Cancer Control Act in March of 07. The county research coordinators, originally there were three pilot sites, and they awarded the grant monies, and that was in Park and Uinta and Converse counties. That eventually expanded to Laramie and Albany County. Some other historical information about this is that the initial concept came from the American Cancer Society. It was a partnership to enhance collaboration to increase screening access and rates across Wyoming. And then there is another graph out there that we got in Labor, Health, and Social Services, and we didn't bother to pass that out, but it did show that every single county in the state of Wyoming took advantage of this program between 07 and 08. 572 people were helped. Just in the area of prostate cancer alone, they found 7 people that actually had cancer through these screenings. If they wouldn't have found those screenings, we had eventually paid for those anyway.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I just wonder about the appropriateness of this amendment since it doesn't say where the money goes or what it's for.
Representative Esquivel, the amendment increases the funds into the tobacco trust, but it does not direct it to be spent for any particular purpose. Is there any direction anywhere in the budget bill or the amendment that would indicate that it would be spent for the purposes that you're discussing, or is it just under line 14, the prevention of health and safety?
Mr. Speaker, there is a handout in your desk that shows the page that that came out. It's circled. I didn't bring that handout up here with me. It's the third line down. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Brown. In the original budget bill...
I'm sorry, Representative Esquibel. On this point of order, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem?
Yeah, I guess it's up to you, Mr. Speaker, to rule on the, my question. Is
I think that the amendment itself is not out of order. However, it does not specify where the dollars go other than into the prevention of health and safety account. So, Representative Esquivel, I'm sorry for the interruption. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and excuse the body for that. In the original bill under prevention, health, and safety, line 11 in the Department of Health, it was page 7, the third line down, item number 1506, county coordinators, $495,000. That's where it's at. That's where it specifically states that it goes back to replace those $495,000. If I may move on a little bit, I want to talk about some of the things that this program has done in the counties across the state. Let's talk about some prostate cancer awareness month that was that happened in Park County and Uinta County, where they screened men for prostate cancer at no cost. This was a collaborative effort with the CCRC project, the money that we're looking to replace right now. 65 men were screened for prostate cancer, and 6 were referred for biopsies. Those 6 biopsies alone probably make up this $495,000 if you start looking at it, if we're going to pay out of Medicaid or where it's going to come from. It goes back to that Fram oil filter commercial. You pay now, pay later. The screening process is a must. Early detection is key. And I won't get into anything too personal with that, but in partnership with Uinta County Cancer Research Coordinators, a local dermatologist offered free skin cancer checks with CCRC project referrals. To date, 38 Wyoming men and women have been seen for 13 basal cell carcinomas and have been identified. Additionally, one cell carcinoma was found there. In Albany County, a local oncologist staff member provided travel funds for patients needing to meet travel to Laramie for treatment who could not afford transportation. This assistance came through the Albany Cancer County Research Coordinator Project Collaboration. The additional funds with this program are going to allow it to expand even further. And like I said earlier, we've had some bills come in and take money out of the tobacco trust settlement account that didn't really have direct specific cancer-related funds go toward, you know, cancer. And I think that's what the CCRCs are for. That's what the tobacco trust settlement accounts are for. So with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Standing up to urge you to resist this amendment. And to kind of set the framework here, we're talking about an agency, the Department of Health, that has about a $1.6 billion budget. And our supplemental budget this year, we're using about $11.2 million in reversions. And these reversions are coming from monies not used for personnel. And make no mistake about it, this money that we're seeing appropriated here,
even though we want to do some good work for cancer, we want to make sure that this money that we spend gets to where it needs to be. And we have to be cautious about spending this money more for personnel than where it's really targeted. And when we look at this budget, our cancer control budget, we do see an agency that is somewhat top-heavy in that regard, where we see more administration costs than we see these dollars getting to help the people that need it. So, again, I urge some caution with this, especially as a third reading budget amendment. Thank you.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in strong support of this amendment. I serve on the Albany County Cancer Control Task Force that just started. It has been in existence for less than a year, and what the funding does with this amendment is it returns to the counties the ability to do this work for the next year. Five counties currently have pilot projects in place that are doing cancer control resource networking. What they have been doing in the past 8 months has been amazing. In your boxes, you have a sheet that has my name on it, and it says County Cancer Resource Coordinators. And I just want to point out one of the statistics on there. And that is in the five counties that have these pilot projects, over half of the cancer screenings in the past 6 months have taken place in those five counties. That shows how incredibly successful they have been. What will happen if this money is returned to them is that each of these counties will expand into their regions. So my particular county coordinators would then expand to two additional counties. Every dollar that we spend on prevention and education is worth 6 to 8 times that amount in both saved lives as well as costs. So I strongly encourage you to support this amendment. And in all honesty, if it's poorly worded, we will take care of that in conference committee and make sure that the money goes to maintaining these county coordinators. Thank you.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment. The cancer resource centers and the coordinators are in my county of Uinta County, and I can tell you they have been successful. We talk about spending money, but we are saving money. As the previous speaker said, we're saving money and lives because they can find the cancer at an earlier stage. Also, I want you to know what these coordinators do. They not only help them with the screenings, they help these people who have been identified with cancers to receive the treatment that they need by making sure that they have the money for gas or for other needs. I have heard from constituents whose family members have been diagnosed with cancer, praising the cancer resource coordinator for being a support for them when no other agency, although there's other agencies out there we would expect to support them, have not given the support that these coordinators do. Not only does my coordinator in my community be in charge of this program, she also writes grants, so there's additional funding. She wrote grants in the amount of close to $60,000 to support the money that we as a state have given her to help these people. This is for the people of Wyoming. They are responding, saying it is working, we need it, please keep it. I strongly urge you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to add to what the two previous speakers have said, I am strongly in support of this, and I want to say that Park County, my county, was one of the three original counties that participated, applied for, and became one of the pilot counties. Just to answer the question, does the money get to the people that need the help? 1 year ago, of all the colorectal cancer screenings in Wyoming,
24%, one in four, were in Park County, and they came about as a result of the education and exposure that the people of Park County were brought to through this program. Very much on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some concern with this for a different, slightly different reason, Mr. Speaker, and that is it seems like we're creating silos. It seems like we have a silo over here to help people with, go get cancer services and make people aware of that. We have a silo over here that addresses aging people and what trying to help people get services for that. We have a silo for children, and I'm starting to think that really what we need to do is drive this into some type of interim and say, we need maybe a public services type of agency or something where people that will tell people that where people are, if they're looking for problems for something that they can come to and hear what is available out there in the public sector, what are the programs that are going on. I know up in our corner of the state is we don't have this a person who's been doing this. And I have gotten several phone calls from different ones who have gotten the treatments, especially for the colorectal program, and they were very gratified to have that. And so there's a group of medical providers, and there's our public health people that are doing this. My concern is I would like to get this money out of the administration and building all these administrative silos and get the money down there to where it's paying for providers who are providing the services and getting people taken care of. And that's why I'm going to resist this amendment. I think the idea is worthy, but I'd like the dollars to go to services instead of administration.
Chairman Gingrey, could you come up for a moment, please? Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you look on your budget bill on line 18, there's already $2,201,000 tobacco settlement funds in this program. It looks to me like it's not a problem of not having enough money. To me, like it's a problem you're not taking care of it. How is another $500,000 going to help if you aren't taking care of it with the $2 million you already have in there?
Mr. Minority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, I speak in favor of this amendment, and if you want to know what good those dollars are going to do, you're looking at them. In 2008, in December, 2007 December, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I used the resources of my community to help me understand my situation. And it was directly related to the monies that was appropriated for this project. And I say it's worth every penny you put into it on for the amendment.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would urge the body to vote in favor of this. Just a couple of quick points. This right now is a pilot program in five counties, and we would be backing up the car and turning it around not to support this. And the fact that when we're done with this, we've reached the point where the pilot projects are successful. And now we're going to have a regional so we can impact every individual in the state of Wyoming. We'll have access to the good things that this program will do. So think about that. We don't need an interim study. This is something that we're headed right in the right direction. We're not walking, we're sprinting, and we would be calling off the race right now if we voted against this.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I made an error the other day when I spoke against this after taking a look at this and talking to the sponsor. I think this is a great program. At least it's a much better use of funds than green bulletin boards.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker, in reference to my point of order before, in talking to the budget staff, they said that this is in order to, because It was referenced earlier in the budget, and then the JAC turned it down. And then the governor had recommended it in his original budget, but then in his revised budget, he turned it down, and then JAC turned it down as well. So, and I would stick with the recommendation of JAC, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, you don't know what I was going to say here on the second time. But I'll just call for the question. I'll probably start. Yeah, let's.
It was a good speech. We're in third reading, amendment number 16 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading, amendment number 16 has passed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Roll call is in order. Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim excused, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller,
no.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
no.
Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Landon? Aye to no. Lubno? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 ayes, 25 noes, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 16 has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we stand in recess until 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Tuesday. Upon noon recess, we'll discuss Senate File 2, Engrossed Insurance, Financial Reporting Requirements, Senate File 104, Engrossed Life Insurance, Limitation on Dependent Coverage, Senate File 45, Improvement and Service District Directors.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will take up, will meet upon noon recess, that's now, in 15 minutes at 12:15, where in H10, where we will take up Senate File 23 engrossed. That gives you time to go get a lunch and bring it up to the meeting.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10 on labor will meet in at 12:15 after everybody's had a chance to grab a little lunch to hear Senate File 92, Long-Term Care Access.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet on February the 18th in room H10 at 8 o'clock to consider the following bills. Senate File 13, engrossed. Shed antler correction, that's a continuation of previous meeting. And Senate File 14, engrossed state historic sites appropriation.
Any other announcements? We are in recess until 1 p.m.